So let's pray. Father, help me by the Holy Spirit to speak clearly from your word, and help all of us who listen not to feel that this is just the end of a book, but to see the great glory that is to come because of Paul and the mission you gave him. And so help us by the Holy Spirit as well to understand and see that what Paul did was just a beginning. Amen. Now, if you want to take notes, I do mention a number of Bible passages as we go along. This is episode two. It's rather like a TV program where you go back over what you heard last week in the episode that you listened to or saw on the TV. Well, last week we learned spiritually from the account of Paul's final journey to Rome. And it was amazing how he continued despite every single difficult problem you could ever experience on a sea voyage. I can't think of any other sea voyage which would be worse. And it was amazing, and also reminded us about our life journey, which again is not always easy, but nevertheless becomes a continual proclamation of the gospel, because whatever happens, we are always witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, episode two, and I've called it the end, ? Or the beginning, ? How do we approach the end of the Acts of the Apostles? And we've heard sermons on this for a long time now. Are we at the end of the exciting early days of Christianity, so that in one sense nothing will be the same again? Or is the Acts of the Apostles just a flavour of what is to come in the church? I say again, are we at the end or the beginning? We have listened to those sermons in which God has taught us about committed disciples, miracles, and from Acts 9, in which we read of Paul's conversion, and then on to Acts 13, we hear about Paul and his mission. Paul, an unlikely convert, whom Jesus used to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings, and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." And hasn't he suffered? If you've been listening to those sermons, he had every single thing that you could have happen to anybody. And yet he continued to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw last week how he's now arrived in Rome, having suffered these setbacks on the voyage, but always sure that Jesus would ensure his safe arrival in Rome. And certainly I was challenged in the sense of he had such faith, which we don't always have, do we? We see a problem in life and then we think, are we going to get through, rather than going to the source of all life first and saying, Lord Jesus, help me through, give me faith that everything will be okay. Acts 23:11. That night the Lord stood near him and said, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome. Now turn to the passage that we've just had read in Acts. Now before we consider these verses, these last verses of the Acts of the Apostle, I want to consider Paul as a Christian. Paul is a perfect example for us. Again, I'm challenged. The preacher is always challenged first when he's preparing a sermon. But I'm challenged because he is fully Christ-centered. To Paul, his life is only for Jesus and his gospel, of which he, Paul, is the teacher and preacher. We've just heard, as Jonty read from Philippians, "For to me living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you." So he weighs these up, and his faith is quite remarkable. I read recently of a famous man who was, I suppose he was about my age, and in the article I read, he said he was absolutely terrified of death. And I was actually quite amazed by the article. But here we see an apostle who is not frightened about death, but is prepared to have faith in his Lord and leave his life with the Lord, so that at the appropriate moment he would die, but only at the, if you like, God point. But now we have Paul the Apostle now in Rome, and once more his life in Rome will be for Jesus and Gentiles in Rome, that they may become Christians and the gospel prosper in the wider civilized world of Rome and its empire. But, as we heard earlier again from the reading Jonty read for us, he still writes his letters to the churches, in that case to the Philippian church. And so he never wasted a moment, even in prison. So is this chapter the end? Now I say it is the beginning of the gospel going out into the center of the civilized world of that day. Further, over the centuries that followed, gradually the whole world would hear the gospel proclaimed, leading to proclamation in our time in the 21st century. And while sadly, with many exceptions, this country of ours appears lukewarm, let's remember what's happening in Africa, China, and other parts of the world, and note that the proclamation of the gospel is still proceeding apace. And we still meet people today, and I mentioned him last week, like Oscar Pistorius, who must have been influenced by Paul, surely, as his words from 1 Corinthians 9:25-26 are not on his vest, as I said last week, are tattooed much better on his body. That is amazing. And of course, I don't know him, so I don't know whether he is a Christian or not. But that is the influence of Paul coming right up to the present day, right up to the Paralympics, because I watched him run and I thought he was amazing. And who began this incredible progression of the gospel? It's Paul. That's why Jesus ensured that he reached Rome, despite Satan's ploys of shipwreck, threats of death, and even possible snake bites. It must have been encouraging for Paul, as Acts 28:15, and I'll read that. The believers from there, when they heard of us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. It's wonderful how they all came together, and now he was allowed to live by himself with just one soldier guarding him. Now, I don't know what your stamina is like. People you meet today, many Christians, have incredible stamina. What is extraordinary about Paul is his stamina. Acts 28:17. He allowed himself just 3 days' grace before calling together the local Jewish leaders. 3 days' grace after a voyage like that. Paul continues to proclaim the gospel, but first explains himself and his arrival in Rome. And so Acts 28:17-22, Paul gives the local leaders a potted history of his arrest in Jerusalem, his handing over to the Romans, his appeal to the emperor. And the response? Just about nothing. The local leaders appear ignorant of Paul, but verse 22, want to hear from him about Christianity because everyone in Rome has spoken against it. So he's in a minority. It's rather like us today, isn't it? We're in a minority. And people today speak against our faith, often not understanding what it means to be a Christian. It was wonderful the other Sunday morning when I was speaking to a fairly new member of our church family who had done a Discovering Christianity course. And when, in my answer to my question to her as to what she thought Christianity means, she looked a little surprised when I put the question to her. But she was good. She won the gold medal. She replied, a relationship with Christ. And that was really special. So when we are proclaiming the gospel, as Paul was about to do to the Jewish leaders, it's important to explain what it means to have Christian faith. People think it's religion. And you've probably heard this story before, but it's absolutely true and it's worth repeating. When we had the topping out service of the new church here, and we had all the builders and people from Malum, the company Malum, here, and I was wearing my collar, and I had this Malum man with me. He was a lovely man, and his first thing he said to me was, I'm not very good with religion. And I said, nor am I. And that woke him up, because we were able to talk about what Christianity is really about. People outside think it's religion, heavy liturgy, dark clergy, and people who will never understand them. And we need, in our proclamation of the gospel, to show them what Christianity really is, and that a relationship with Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing we can ever have in our lives today. And if we are outside the safety of the church building, say at a supper party, we can always move around our discussions to such a point that the subject of Christian faith can be discussed. You can do it. Most of us feel that we can't talk about Jesus easily. Well, we can be softly, softly about it. And we can move people around and get them to such a position where it comes up. The media may be cautious towards Christianity, but there are many people out there who are looking for a lifesaver. And I mean that, a lifesaver. Jesus is the only satisfactory life saver. So Acts 28, 23 to 28, 23 to 28, Paul has got his audience, got them interested, having fixed a day to meet together. In great numbers, the Jews come together. And all day Paul proclaims the gospel, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. It's just like today, isn't it? Some were convinced, others refused to believe. And this can happen with our neighbors, and this can happen with our friends, and this can happen with our family. We all know that. Not everyone will accept Jesus, particularly those confident in their own strength and therefore unwilling to surrender their lives to him. And sadly, this is exactly what happened at Paul's day conference. It would seem that those Jewish leaders who disagreed with those who were convinced by the gospel seemed to have won the day. And Paul made one further statement. And it's important, these words, because they're quoted in the Gospels as well, so I'll read it. Go to this people and say you will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And Paul's quotation from Isaiah follows similar words in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 20, and John 12, verses 37 to 43. Paul was used by Jesus to sow the seed of the word of the gospel, but sadly Satan removed this seed before acceptance of the gospel could happen in most cases of these assembled people. And this still happens today. There is no middle way. We cannot sit on the fence and have it both ways. To be a Christian is to surrender your life to Christ and enter into relationship with him. And it's sad, as we come to the end of the Acts of the Apostles, that we see the Jews refusing to accept Jesus Christ. And that's the position today. And we should be praying for more Jews not to abandon their Jewishness, but for that is special, but to become Jewish Christians. But Paul had done his best, and now verse 28, it would be the Gentiles, that's people like us, who would benefit, as happened in the many years to come. Acts 28, 30 to 31, last two verses. The Acts of the Apostle ends with the simple statements that Paul lived in Rome for 2 years at his expense, and that he continued to welcome all who came to him. Further, he continued to proclaim the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus with boldness, hindered by no one. And so, what happened after the 2 years? Because we're left with a cliffhanger, aren't we, in the Acts of the Apostle? We don't know what happened. There is some evidence that he was released, and this can be found in his letter to Timothy. Would you like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 211? There is some evidence that he was released. It seems that he continued his travels for a while, but eventually he poured out his life for Christ. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. However, what does seem likely, however, is that the angel's promise, Acts 27:24, "Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before the emperor," was fulfilled. On that basis, he would have stood before Nero and released by him. See Timothy 4:16-18. And I'll just read that little bit to you. "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." We cannot be absolutely certain as to what happened after those 2 years, but we have a good idea that this was not completely the end of Paul's ministry, and that he was released, went on travels, and then eventually he was executed. And the books say this was in AD 64, but that's just about it. But the whole life was a continual proclamation of the gospel. Let's turn right back to Acts. And so we conclude. It's amazing that nothing prevented God's will being fulfilled. And that's something for us to remember too. Having chosen Paul as his chosen vessel, there was nothing that was going to prevent the gospel being proclaimed all the way to Rome. Paul was born not knowing that God had a purpose for his life. Quoting Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, "Paul was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love." And this is a reminder to us that each one of us who is a Christian has a God-given purpose to fulfill, which should encourage us in the ministry and gifts we have. And I know in my own life that I only came to understand this little by little, but there is no doubt that people are chosen. I'm not going to go into the doctrine of election now, but that we are chosen before our birth for a particular reason. And each of you here has a particular gift, ministry, that can be used in the church and makes all the difference. So in a sense, we mustn't put Paul, he's impossible to follow. We've got to realize that God has given us ministry and gifts to use in his service. But there is more to God's purpose being fulfilled in Paul. Consider the prison letters. Now, I don't know what you do in your quiet times. I don't know what you read, but I am always encouraged by Paul's letters, particularly by Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And just imagine if those letters didn't exist. What a loss to the church there would have been in the years since Paul's writings if we had not benefited from these extraordinary letters focusing on the Lordship of Christ. Paul, more than any of the other apostles, had built the foundation of the Gentile church, which now includes us. Without him, without his letters, without the Acts of the Apostles, where would we be? So, part one, which I spoke on last week, episode one, we notice that Paul did not run aimlessly as a Christian. He always had an aim. And we need to run, not run aimlessly, but run with an aim in our sight that Jesus must be proclaimed. And that is one of the reasons why we are here on this earth. And that's why we become Christians, because God has picked us out as somebody that can do his job for him. And that really ran through the first episode that I preached on, is that he never stopped proclaiming the gospel, even when everything wrong happened. And then today, in this episode too, I think it's boldness. Coming to the end of my preparation, and these two sermons have been complicated, I felt the word boldness should apply, because he was bold in proclaiming the gospel. And I know that I need to be far more bold in proclaiming the gospel. I don't know if you've had the experience, I'm sure you have. You've got every situation ready, and you think, I'm going to say something about Jesus Christ, and then for one reason or another, you're embarrassed or something like that, you don't. And you come away and you think, oh goodness, I've failed, Lord. Well, think about the future and think about being bolder. Not without tact, but being bold like Paul, who never stopped. Never has there been a Christian who was so bold in proclaiming Jesus and his gospel, despite suffering. And for us, it is not easy to proclaim the gospel in the light of opposition, particularly today. There will always be suffering for those who proclaim Christ. But if we take a leaf from Paul's letters and in the life story, we will ask God to make us bold in proclaiming his son Jesus. So tonight, when we go home, don't forget about the Acts of the Apostles. Don't forget about Paul. But go out this evening with the determination to be fired up in the Holy Spirit so that we are bold in proclaiming the gospel in the Holy Spirit's power. And this boldness, pray that each one of us, it will be used in us being more fruitful in the service of Jesus Christ, because we need to fill the church, don't we, with Christians in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.